Well, the choir, you did a great job. Few in numbers, but great in voices, right? All right. Very good. Sweeter as the day goes by. You know, every one of our relationships should be sweeter every day, right? Absolutely. Spending your time daily with the Lord in devotions and prayer makes it greater. Well, this morning, we're going to look at a series of messages concerning Jesus' ministry, why he was here on earth. We just celebrated the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we know for the 3.5 years that he was here on earth, he went about doing good things, meeting people's needs. And in this message today, we're going to see that Jesus met the need of a Gentile woman. They were considered foreigners, a different culture than the Jewish generation. And as Jesus went about doing good things, he went all over the area, and Capernaum was one of the regions that he spent most of the time, but in Tyre and Sidon, we're going to see that Jesus went to this area. It's a seaport where they did a lot of fishing, a lot of different things that took place in this area, not too far from Lebanon on that sea coast. So Jesus spent a lot of times in ministry, he and his disciples going to different cities. And in this series here, in this particular first one of this of nature, we're going to be looking at the Syrophoenician woman, and I titled it a Gentile Woman's Faith, because she did have faith, and that's what it takes. And it takes going to Jesus and having faith, knowing that he's going to, whatever he says in his words, it's a promise, and he will fulfill it. So follow along with me as I begin with verse 24 of Mark chapter 7. Jesus got up and went away from there to a region of Tyre, and when he had entered a house, he wanted no one to know of it, yet he could not escape notice. You know, people kept an eye on Jesus, didn't they? They wanted to be where Jesus was. In verse 25, but after hearing of him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at Jesus' feet. Now, the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking Jesus to cast out the demon out of her daughter. And he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she answered and said to Jesus, yes, Lord, but even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. And Jesus said to her, because of this answer, go, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And going back to her home, she found the child laying on the bed, and the demon had left her. That's a miracle, isn't it? Amen. That is a miracle. So I want us to think about this morning as we look at these particular series of messages pertaining to Jesus' ministry, Jesus' works, the miracles, and everything that Jesus did those 3.5 years before his crucifixion, but yet his resurrection and ascension back to heaven. Because we, too, have been commissioned to go about, just like the disciples, as our scripture this morning, as Diane read, that we are to go to all places and all situations, cultures, and share the good news of Jesus Christ. So, like Jesus, correct moral thinking occurs as we begin to develop. And I want to call it the mind of Christ. Paul says that we can have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ as we read the scripture and as we rely upon the Holy Spirit to lead us in our thinking. So if we're thinking the things of God, he gives us that mind to think and to carry out the ministry that he has called us each to do. So we acquire the mind of Christ. And there's two things here I want us to think about. First, having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We must have that personal relationship with him in order to be able to discern through the Holy Spirit what Jesus is revealing to us when we pray or when we read the Word of God. And secondly, by reading the Bible and observing the way that Jesus treated those around him or who came to him or pleaded to him, like this Syrophoenician lady concerning her daughter. Now, in this message this morning, we will see how Jesus had no social prejudice, nor felt inconvenienced, really, because Jesus always saw and looked at people at their needs. And when they came to him, and when he met the needs of this woman of a different culture or a different race than himself and the Jewish people there. So let's look, first of all, Jesus needed to spend time alone. And that's what it says here in verse 24. You know, what do you like to do after a hard day's work? Like to sit down and rest, recline back, and just relax, right? Put aside your phones and all of that stuff and just relax, right? But do you always get to do that? No. Well, here in this verse, it says that Jesus went to a region of Tyre and Sidon. In verse 24, Tyre was a celebrated commercial city of Phoenicia on the coast of the Mediterranean. And Sidon was a fishing town about 25 north of Tyre. And Lebanon is somewhere above that, and of course all the other regions around it. Now, the KJV version states that Jesus went into the borders. Okay, he went to the borders, or in other versions, translation says region. So he was there in that area. It was not merely the edge of Phoenicia, but into the parts of Tyre and Sidon. So the reason why he journeyed to the deep into the region is because Jesus wanted to be alone. Because he had been other places, and it's a long journey from city to city, and they didn't get in their automobiles or horses and things, chariots and stuff. They walked. So walking and doing ministry over 10, 15, 20, 25 miles, you get tiring, right? On the physical side. On the spiritual side, Jesus was always equipped, right? On the spiritual side, he just like you and I, and the disciples was always with him. But Jesus wanted to be alone. And he craved a little privacy and rest. And this was his purpose to going to Syro or Phoenicia. So now, looking at this one verse here before I move on into 25 and 27, I want to just summarize the timeline of these events up to this point. Okay? Back in chapter 6 of Mark, we're in chapter 7, but in Mark chapter 6, we read how that the disciples approached King Herod. And this was when, and requested the body of John the Baptist. If you go back in chapter 6, the previous chapter, in order to give him a proper burial. So when the disciples informed Jesus about their heart-wrenching experience, and they was heartbroken after hearing. And if you recall John the Baptist in the previous chapters, sending disciples to Jesus and saying, "Are you the Son of God? Are you truly the Son of God?" Because here, John the Baptist is about to lose his head, right? And he was concerned. You know, he was a forerunner of Jesus Christ, and he preached Jesus Christ, "Repent for the remission of sin." And here he was in prison, and here we know Herod's daughter said, "Give me John the Baptist's head on a platter," and he granted that. So when Jesus' disciple went to John the Baptist and he said, "Go ask Jesus if he is the Son of God." He wanted a peace. You know, he wasn't doubting who Jesus was. He just wanted that assurance. "Here, I'm about to die. I just want that comfort and that peace." And when they told Jesus this, Jesus said, "Go tell John, I am the Son of God. I am come to meet the needs of the poor, preach to the lowly, and give comfort to those who come to me unselfishly with unconditional love." And that wasn't good enough for John. And we see Jesus saw how his own disciples was wrenched in the heart because of this. And he wanted to give them comfort as well. And in Mark chapter, the previous chapter, verse 30, Jesus told them, "Come aside by yourself to a desert place and rest there a while." He took care of people, didn't he? He took care of his own disciples. He realized they needed rest too. Now, in verse 31, Mark then testifies, "But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him," knew Jesus, "and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him," in verse 33. So, it is an understatement to say that their getaway plan was interrupted. They didn't get to do the resting that they desired. And then the scripture says he ducked into a house so he could have a moment away from the crowd to share something with his disciples in verse 17. And then afterwards, they departed to Tyre and Sidon in verse 24, which brings us to our primary text. And we read that when he arrived, he entered the house and wanted no one to know it. Jesus was still trying to find some downtime for himself and his disciples because no one was letting him get any rest. Now, Jesus, this time wasn't just to rest or sleep or just get away from people. It was time to get along and recharge himself with the Father. His time alone was always with the Father. That's why early in the morning he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, or those areas in the region, to get along and pray to the Heavenly Father. He desired that. He wanted that. He needed that, just like you and I. Even though he was perfect in all ways, he had that special connection with the Heavenly Father. And when we have that special connection with the Heavenly Father, you know, our lives is much better. We're charged up and we're ready to do great things in the name of the Lord. And Jesus was always ready to do that. So Jesus' primary mission was to the Jews. Matthew chapter 15, 24. Therefore, he wanted to leave the premises and get out to the of the Jewish territory in hope that things would be letting up. Now, this was the reason why they headed to Tyre and Sidon to go to a new region to do ministry and so forth. So, I want to emphasize something that's important for us to understand, that Jesus and his disciples were trying to get away so we can see the significance of what takes place next, okay? Jesus always knew what was coming up next. He, you know, perfect knowledge and discernment. And the Heavenly Father was always leading and taking him, because Jesus said, I don't do anything on my own initiative, neither should we, right? We shouldn't just do stuff because we think we need to do it. We need to ask the Father, okay, what do you want me to do next? How do you want me to approach my next task? Always pray about it. Think about it in the terms of getting the mind of Christ, to be able to absorb our mind so that whatever is up here that's good, it enters our hearts and we're able to reflect the compassion of Christ. Now, I said that what's significant that takes place next is this. Jesus took time out for a foreigner. And this foreigner, again, as our scripture says, was a Gentile lady, one in need. Jesus already knew that he would be encountering this. Jesus knew aforehand and knows now our thinking and what we're going to do and so forth. And it's always good that we know up front that we're going to do what Jesus wants us to do as we seek his will and guidance in our life. It's always best to do that. So Jesus had just entered the house, as the scripture says, hoping that no one would find him. But the text states here, going back to verse 24, he could not be hidden. He could not be hidden. Why? For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard about him, in verse 25. She had heard about Jesus. Everybody had heard about Jesus. And she wanted to meet Jesus. She knew Jesus could meet her need. She knew Jesus was compassionate, he was caring, and he was loving. And she wanted to meet Jesus personally. And when you and I have met Jesus personally, it changed our life, didn't it? Just meeting Jesus and knowing him personally changed our life. But she had a situation in her life concerning her daughter that she knew Jesus could take care of. Meaning that she was probably aware of how Jesus had healed all the manner of diseases, about how he had opened the eyes of the blind, unstopped the ears of the deaf, which he did, as I was describing a while ago, when Jesus told the disciples, you go back and tell John, this is what I have come to do. But his primary mission was to save his people, to save the world from their sins. But in the process of taking care of the spiritual needs, Jesus meets the physical needs of our lives. Not only the physical needs, but we all have emotional needs, don't we? And they need to be resolved. They need to be given to Jesus as well, because our minds and everything, the walks of life, involves a lot of scenarios in our lives that needs to be fixed. needs to be ministered to, and Jesus knows how to do that. So she had heard about Jesus. Now, the Apostle Mark stated in Mark chapter 1, verse 28, his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So this woman had heard about Jesus around Galilee or wherever that she had heard as Jesus went about doing ministry, because of her faith and hope had stirred her heart. It stirred her. She said, I've got to meet this Jesus. And many things in our lives stirs us, doesn't it? And nothing better than to stir our heart when we have a particular need than to go to Jesus. Because we know that he hears our prayers, he hears our petitions, and he's going to act upon those. So she needed something that society had not been able to provide. And so society cannot provide the things that we need spiritually in our life. But we know that Jesus can meet those needs. So she was looking for something that her dead religion had been powerless to give her. The religion that she had been practicing and so forth, she said, it's not any good. They hadn't healed my daughter. They can't cast out this demon. And back then, that was a serious thing in the lives of those in those regions and in that time frame. Demon-possessed. And she needed a solution that she had not been able to, anything else or anyone could ever provide for her, their self-efforts. She was desperate, and she saw Jesus as her only hope. You know, Jesus is our only hope. Jesus is the world's only hope. If we are to get out of the messes that we're in and as a world, as countries, as a nation today, we need to point these nations and we need to point people to Jesus Christ. The song says, people need Jesus. We all need Jesus. He's our only hope. So Jesus could have chosen not to speak with her. She was a foreigner, a Gentile, and she was seen unclean by the people, not by Jesus. Jesus knew she was a sinner. We're all sinners. We all come short of God's glory. That's why Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And Romans 3:23 says, for we all are sinners, and we come short of God's glory. People are seen this way. We're seen this way today, but Jesus' unconditional love, he takes care of those things. So in the parallel account found in Matthew, we read, his disciples came and urged him, saying, send her away, for she cries out after us. Here they was thinking about rest. Jesus was thinking about ministry. And that's in Matthew chapter 15:23. So I'm sure that Jesus surprised his disciples when he acknowledged her existence and encouraged or engaged in her dialogue. Now, Jesus reached out to the Syrophoenician woman, this Gentile lady, the lady of faith. She was a Gentile, but she had great faith, and she had hope that Jesus was going to meet her need, just like he meets our needs today. He identified with her, also her spiritual need. He knew of her physical need for her daughter, but he also knew of her spiritual need. He wanted to meet that need, just as he has met that need for us as well. And he saw her as valued and welcome to the, what I would say, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we become part of the family of God. Now, let's move on to the last few verses here. Jesus sought to accommodate her need, or to meet her need. The woman basically said, "All I'm asking, Lord, is for a small crumb, a tiny amount of your time, a small portion of your anointing, and a tiny little blessing." Now, Jesus used the analogy, as we read a while ago, about giving dogs that sit around under the table the crumbs. And if you, any of you have ever had animals, dogs or anything like that, especially dogs, when you're eating at the table, where are they? They're sitting right there by your chair with their mouth open and waiting for you to drop a piece of meat or something into their mouth, right? That's common. And that was common in that day. It's common in our day. But she had the right answer. You think about this. Well, our kids drop crumbs on the floor and the dogs eat it. It's not that we just do it purposely. And Jesus said, that's the right answer. You see, we always have the right answers when we have the mind of Christ. And that touched Jesus, knowing that her faith was genuine. It was genuine. Jesus was tired, yet he took the time to meet her spiritual need. For this saying, in verse 29, or because of her faith, in Matthew 20 that I read a while ago, Jesus commanded the demon to depart from her daughter when she made that statement. Well, even the dogs eat the crumbs that the children drop on the floor. They do. They do. Exactly. When she arrived back home, she saw her daughter laying on the bed, healed. The way that Jesus took time out for this Syrophoenician woman in order to accommodate her spiritual need can also be applied to meeting her physical need. He took care of both. He takes care of all of it. He takes care of all of our needs, right? There's no limitation. God has all the power to do anything, everything. So this Syrophoenician woman was from a different culture, different background than Jesus and his disciples. Therefore, the first application is found by asking, are we willing to accommodate the cultural needs of others? That can be a congregational question, or be a personal question as well, because we meet people all the time. The Syrophoenician woman asked Jesus to help her daughter, who displayed a disorder, possessed demon. And in the Bible, physical and mental conditions were often viewed as demonic possessions, and sometimes they were. And sometimes we see that in our world today. Back in 2003, when I was taking my CPE, that's Clinical Pastor Education, I spent 9 months at Kokomo Hospital. I was serving as chaplain for 24 hours in class at the same time, and meeting patients and so forth, and shadowing doctors and so forth as they made calls and so forth. At night, we was on call from 8 o'clock at night to 8 o'clock the next morning, didn't get much sleep. I was paged. My pager went off, and I was paged to go to, I think it was the fourth floor, and to talk to a demonic lady, young lady. Well, we read about it in scriptures, but I didn't know how real that was till I went into this room. She was quarantined. I mean, she was in a room kind of by herself, and it was odd, it's strange. And they said, if you need anything, they let me in, all the doors locked and everything, because she was kind of, it was a padded area as well, because she could do harm to herself. And as I began to talk to her, she said, everything I do in this life, the devil makes me do it. And she explained some off the wall weird things. Boy, I had to pray. I said, Lord, I need your wisdom. I need your guidance in this to be able to know how to address her situation, because I had not encountered situations like this before. And I am sure this with Brenda. I called Brenda after the episode. I said, boy, you won't know what I got into tonight. But I talked to her and I prayed with her and I said, you know, the Lord can remove this from your life. And she said, I want to believe that. I spent about an hour or so probably with her. I never did get called back in there, so I hope her situation changed. That's what you hope and pray, that things happen. But these things are real, and Jesus is the only one that is able to take care of those needs. And the second thing, are we willing to accommodate the health needs of others? Health needs are not cultural, but there are always the need to help someone that has special needs. As we close, Jesus invested his time, just like you and I invest our time in other people's lives. He invested his time in this Syrophoenician woman's life because he identified her primary need and he met that need. She needed a chance to exercise her faith, and she did. We always need an opportunity to exercise our faith in doing what God has called us to do. Jesus seeing her face to face changed her life, changed her daughter. So when you and I allow ourselves to help others, especially those with, I want to say, challenging circumstances or backgrounds, we become to them the face of Christ. That's who we become. We allow them to see in us and know how that he is real and that he loves them, just like he loves you and me. So if you and I provide people with a chance to see Jesus face to face, then they have an opportunity to exercise their faith in him as well. But he gives us opportunity to provide that to others on the spiritual side. You know, there's a great lesson in passages like this, where Jesus expressed his love, his grace, and his mercy to a Gentile lady that other people considered an outcast. Jesus loves everybody. He loves you and me. He cares for the world, and that's why John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world. And he did, and gave his only begotten Son. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privileges of having your word, reading it, and allowing it to settle in our hearts to the point that it motivates us to do what you've called us to do, to be there for others, to be there to intercede, maybe allowing the Holy Spirit to speak through us to others. You met people face to face, and Lord, that's how we are to meet people face to face, to meet them where they are, and love them unconditionally, just as you do, and as you did when you went about on this earth for 3.5 years providing physical and spiritual and emotional healing. And Lord, we all come into this congregation, into this sanctuary, particular needs. We never know from week to week what we're going to encounter. But Lord, whatever we encounter, Lord, we can bring it to you, and you will see us through it. Whatever you bring to us, you see us through it, just like you did this Syrophoenician lady and her daughter. And all the other parables and all the other miracles that we read about in your word, they also apply to us in this real world in which we're in today. So we can bring all of our needs and our concerns to this altar. We can pray to you, Lord, and you will give us discernment to know how to meet the needs that you bring to us. You have the answers. During this invitation today, Lord, may we be willing to accept your forgiveness as you accept us unconditionally by going to the cross, dying for our sins, and giving us eternal life. We thank you for that. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.